Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of the Beatitudes, we were talking about the predictability of the world's reactions to those that follow the teachings of the Beatitudes. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, it speaks of the persecution on the Old Testament prophets. Jesus is standing there on the Mount of Olives. And I've stood there, by the way, on the Mount of Olives and overlooked Jerusalem. And Jesus saying, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Oh, what a hard word that is, desolate. And my friend, the world will never appreciate us now for standing, but one day in eternity, all those around the throne will praise God that you did. Now, God expects us to hate sin, and he also expects us to stand against sin. Now, the world's response to one who follows the principles of the Beatitudes is predictable. Why? Because he stands for that which is uncommon. Because his values are rooted in God-centeredness. Because he does not call evil good and good evil. He is bound to be feared, resented, and even hated, just as the Christ and the prophets were. And they're doing it today. They call evil good, and so it's good to be able to get out on a church floor and rock and roll and dance and be half naked, and it's bad to go to church with strict moral standards and dress like a Christian ought to dress. And so it's just a sign, and it's a good sign that we're living in the last days. Now, how do I react to persecution? That's really the question here. Now, we need to understand persecution is for righteousness' sake. And Deuteronomy 6:25 gives us a definition of righteousness. It's obeying the commandments of the Lord. Whatever the Word of God commands, we're to obey. That's righteousness. Unrighteousness is not living in obedience to the Word of God, and the Bible tells us that all, and this is in the New Testament, all unrighteousness is sin. Wow. Well, according to this portion of Scripture, being persecuted is more than just the capacity to endure opposition to righteousness. It is also the ability to rejoice even when men revile you and speak evil against you falsely for Jesus' sake. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 states it this way, "Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Why patience? Because tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation says you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now let's think of a war. In a war, what is the soldier's duty? To die for his country? No. It's to make the enemy die for his country. We make Satan die when we endure with joy, just like Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. By the way, in the spiritual warfare, enemies die when by aggressive love they are changed into friends. He that winneth souls is still wise. Now we're told back here in our text, Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, we're told so persecuted they the prophets. And the Bible lets us know that in that eternal kingdom they'll come from the east and the west, and they'll sit down with these prophets in the kingdom. Now how wonderful to be classified with this group that was persecuted for righteousness' sake. And twice he has said, blessed are, which means the present blessing, blessed are, happily content. And because of that, we rejoice and we're exceeding glad. You know what that idea there of exceeding glad? The word exceeding. Oh, what a great word to have there. It means beyond measure, overflowing. We're not now thinking of the future reward also promised, of great is your reward in heaven, but of the present. Now, this brings us to ask, how can this be? I don't get a charge out of being gossiped about, or misrepresented, or resented, and frankly, to be persecuted in any way. I just don't get a charge out of that at all. And I understand that. As a pastor, I've learned I could now spend several minutes and probably several radio programs just giving you illustrations of personal illustrations of having people that lied about me, just bald-faced lies. And had I really just got mad or went after them, maybe they would have been revealed for a lie, but we let God take care of it in many of those cases. And usually the cases that I tried to take care of it got messed up, so it's always best to let God take care of the things that he's supposed to take care of. I just got to be sure to do Matthew 5:44 and to pray for those that despitefully use me, that do all these things, to love them, to pray for them, and to do good unto them, to our enemies, as Matthew 5:44 says. It may be good for us to have a Matthew 5:44 prayer list, as someone has written. And so we have that in front of us. What we must do then to deal with this thing of persecution is go on offense and contend for the faith. Now, do you remember what the Bible says? It says the gates of hell cannot withstand against the church. And I believe Jesus is talking about the local church. All Christians must live their lives in the context of an unholy world. We're surrounded on every hand by an unrelenting, sinful world. Military, college dorms, the devil's crowd, as they witness for their father, the devil, which is exactly what anyone does when he tells of a dirty movie they just watched on television or at some theater, which they shouldn't have been. They tell a filthy story. There are lewd, obscene pictures and language. There's the bar that, again, they should not be at, but they go to it. It's the innuendo they make to the waitress at their table. It's the men that get with the other men at work and they boast of their immorality And all these things that they talk about, they're witnessing you. They're witnessing for the devil to you. And they're trying to bring down your mind to the filth of this world. They're trying to convert you. And they don't want us to get angry about that, but they're going to get very angry if you try to convert them to Jesus Christ. On the other hand, we could add shortcuts that are taken by dishonest business associates, the constant gossip of neighbors and coworkers, lies and the half-truths that we hear all around us. This is all gossip. And basically what I'm saying is a scriptural principle found in 1 John 5:19, which states, "The whole world lieth in wickedness." Now when the world really objects to that and protests that, then you're faced as a Christian whether believing God or believing the world. I think you need to believe God. Well, I know I'm believing God. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. Now, we as Christians must realize the fact that the whole world lies in wickedness. And we need to believe with all our heart that this world is wicked and it is not at all good. No way is this world, well, it's not that bad of a world. No, it is an evil world. Secondly, God, and we know that by John chapter 17, does not expect us to withdraw contact from the world of non-Christians. Or as we're told in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we must needs go out of the world. Instead, we must realize we are the salt, that is the purifying influence as well as the preservative influence for righteousness. And we are light in this world. Matter of fact, Matthew 5, 13 and 14, which are written in the context of these Beatitudes, says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." You see, our duty is not to withdraw, but to resist. Resist the devil. Lift up Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus doesn't draw men unto him if we don't lift him up.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.